Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with East County Magazine, and I want to welcome everyone to our La Mesa Candidates Forum. Thank you so much to our candidates for participating. Tonight's candidates are Genevieve Suzuki, who is an attorney, journalist, a former editor-in-chief of the La Mesa Courier, and a community volunteer. Christine Alicio is our former council member. She's an attorney, a small business owner, and she has a background in real estate and land use. Lauren Cazares is policy advisor at the San Diego Regional Chamber of Commerce, and she's volunteered on the La Mesa Community Police Oversight Board and a whole bunch of other community groups. And Sean Townsend is the CEO of Reflection Training Gear, as well as a former clinical exercise physiologist at Nellis Air Force Base. And Aaron has generously volunteered to be our timekeeper tonight. So thank you, Ellen, for your participation as well. We are going to start by having each candidate briefly tell us a little bit about your experiences and qualifications and your top goals if you are elected to the La Mesa City Council. And this is, by the way, a very important race. We have two open seats because Jack Hsu is retiring and Colin Parent is stepping down from the council because he's running for the state assembly. So two open seats, it's going to be two new faces, and tonight you're going to hear from all of them. Genevieve, let's start with you, if you could tell us about your experiences and qualifications and top goals if elected.
Thank you, Miriam. I'm excited to be here today. I'm a family law attorney with more than a decade of experience, dedicated to help families navigate challenging times with compassion and expertise. And beyond my professional life, I'm deeply involved in community service. I've served on the Community Services Commission and the La Mesa Park and Recreation Foundation Board of Directors. I've strived to make our community a better place for everyone. As a parent, I've been active in my kids' parent-teacher group at my children's school, serving as president in 2022. My husband, Derek, also contributes to education through his work with San Diego Unified School District as a program manager for instructional technology. We have two wonderful kids, Quinn, 15, and Deacon, 9, who constantly inspire us to be more engaged in our community. They are the reasons I got involved to begin with. Parks and the library are super important to families and people with kids. I look forward to sharing my insights and learning from everyone here today. Right now, my platform, and I say right now because my platform is ever evolving as I canvass our neighborhoods. But right now, I'd like to discuss affordable housing, addressing homelessness in a humane, compassionate way, ensuring that our public safety and firefighters are supported, and also, again, just enhancing our community services around La Mesa and growing our library to be the kind of library that attracts everyone from young to older. I'm not going to say old. So thank you for having me.
Well, thank you so much, Genevieve. Christine, let's hear from you.
Hi, my name is Christine Alicio. I've been on the Planning Commission. I was a city council person. I was born in La Mesa. I raised my daughter, Emily, in La Mesa. I am a former board member of the East County Boys and Girls Club, the East County YMCA. I am a current director of the La Mesa History Center, and my goals for La Mesa are really, really simple. Fix the roads, more law enforcement, public safety, and maintain La Mesa small town character. With the state regulations being what they are for affordable housing, I'm probably the only person here who's ever built affordable housing in La Mesa, and I have it right now. It's my Kentera project. And my experience, I think, sets me apart, but I love all these candidates, and I would be happy to serve with any of them. I think they are all great people with good goals. But again, it's public safety, it's roads, and it's maintaining community character that are important to me. And I am an attorney. I'm a land use attorney.
Very good. Thank you. And thanks to everyone for staying within those time limits, for making it easy and for being civil to everyone. It's great to see. Lauren Cazares, let's hear from you now.
Thank you so much, Miriam, for hosting this in East County Magazine. Thank you to Erin for volunteering as our timekeeper. And thank you to my fellow candidates for being here. I'm so glad to be here with you all. I echo what Christine says. We have a really great group of folks here running for La Mesa City Council. And I think we probably have other things in common, but the biggest thing that we all have in common is we love this community and we want to give back to it. So I'm glad to be here with you all. So I'm a policy advisor at the San Diego Regional Chamber of Commerce. We're the largest chamber of commerce or business organization on the West Coast. We specialize in environment and sustainability, education and workforce issues, small business and economic development. I'm a lifelong resident of the city of La Mesa, and I'm a second generation La Mesa homeowner. I bought my home here back in 2021, and I live in the northwest area of La Mesa with my rescue dog, Taylor. Prior to the chamber, I served in a bunch of political roles. My entire career has been in this field, bouncing around from campaigns to policy to administration into the bureaucracy. I've got a lot of experience working in the bureaucracy and a lot of experience working out in the advocacy space as well. And I think that's what really sets me apart is I have the skills to advocate on the outside and get things done on the inside. I think it's really important that we build broad and diverse coalitions to get things done. That is what I'm passionate about. I'm also the eldest daughter of small business owners. My parents really got to live the American dream here in La Mesa and start building generational wealth for us here. I was the first person in my family to go to college. I'm a graduate of Point Loma Nazarene University. And some of my priorities for La Mesa are to ensure that our police department and fire department have enough staff and to improve the just day-to-day lives for La Mesa, whether that is streets, housing, and fixing the homelessness crisis.
Thank you so much, Lauren. Sean, please share your qualifications and your goals if elected.
My name is Sean Talda. I'm actually a personal trainer. I've trained many La Mesians. I technically worked for the military for numerous of years. My background really gives me a unique skill set because what I do is seek out dysfunction and I correct it as a personal trainer. So I think I can bring my skill set to the city hall, found out the dysfunctionality and correct it. I mean, we can sit here and talk about, okay, we need affordable housing and homeless, but how many times have we had this conversation? One thing about a personal trainer is we don't like repetition failure. If I have a client and they can't lose 20 pounds, we have to go in a different direction. And that's what I've always thought. That's what I've always done. So I want to bring my background as a personal trainer and my mindset and my skill set to City Hall and get things done. I'm a doer. I don't know if you see me on Channel 10 News last week where I hiked Cows Mountain to clean up some graffiti. I did that out of sheer will. It had nothing to do with the right thing or the wrong thing. So me looking at the City Hall, I asked myself, okay, we have a homeless problem. How long have we had this problem? And when did this problem got worse? And so I would identify that and try to figure out a way to get pretty much everyone on board with the homeless. Because it won't do any good if we solve it here in La Mesa and El Cajon doesn't solve their problems, or Santee or Lakeside. So my platform actually is getting collectively the 18 cities on the same page when it comes to these issues. Because I know if we don't, it won't do us any good. So it's like you're in your yard. And there's leaves on the ground and everybody got a leaf blower and blowing in different directions. That's why I think the chaos and the political aspect is in right now. So my platform is getting everybody on the same page. The 18 cities that's in San Diego County, and we work together to solve homeless. And I really don't like the term affordable housing. I like it to be reasonable. You know, it may be affordable for some, but I like the term reasonable housing. We work two jobs and go to school and you can't live independently. That's a dysfunction. There's something wrong. That violates the rule of pursuit of happiness.
Let's start with an easy question. Do you support or oppose Proposition L, the sales tax measure that's on the ballot, and why? Christine.
I support it with conditions. Having been on the city council earlier, I have seen the helpfulness that Prop L brought to us. However, the money needs to be conditioned on it being spent in the right place. Right now, the city of La Mesa has a 60% increase in administrative staff That's not helping public safety. It's not fixing roads. It's not doing anything. So why is that? I have no problem paying an extra tax as long as it's something that works for me. Yes, we need it with conditions. And yes, the conditions to be citizen oversight and a clear place that the money is going.
Okay, thank you. Lauren, what are your thoughts on Prop L?
I definitely support Proposition L. I'm really proud to be endorsed by the La Mesa Police Officers Association and La Mesa Firefighters, Local 4759. I've talked to them extensively about what Prop L means to their departments. And my platform is a clean and safe La Mesa. Proposition L is critical in funding a clean and safe La Mesa, especially for our firefighters and our police officers and for infrastructure maintenance. La Mesa is truly the jewel of the hills because we have this sales tax. It's really what differentiates us from some surrounding cities like Lemon Grove. We have nicer roads and sidewalks because we have this tax. There's a lot of misinformation out there that this is an additional tax. It's not. It's renewing an existing tax. I don't think we need to make any devastating budget cuts because we already have a lean city budget and we need to be staffing up, not staffing down.
Okay, thank you. Sean, your views on Prop L?
Well, I read it's still part of this in L. It's an extension, which we've known that it's worked, and I support it 100%. Like Christine said, if the money's clear exactly where it's going, that's the key factor. And make sure that, you know, our police departments and our fire departments are being taken care of. I mean, that's obviously a good thing. So if it's not broken, don't fix it. Let's continue the extension.
Okay. And Genevieve.
Thank you. Like Lauren, I am also endorsed by our police officers and the firefighters. And I absolutely support Proposition L. We already have an oversight committee. When they established Proposition L, they also established the Citizens Bond Oversight mm-hmm. Committee. So there are people who are keeping track of it. We need to keep La Mesa, La Mesa. And by that, I agree with our other candidates here. Our city is fantastic when it comes to roads. You can tell the difference when you're driving from La Mesa into San Diego. And I love San Diego as a county, but man, our roads beat them and we need to keep them up. We also need to provide support so we can fully staff our police, so we can fully staff our firefighters and provide them with the kind of equipment they need to keep saving lives and keeping our community going.
And the next question deals with housing, which, as you many of you have alluded to, is one of the most important issues. How would you balance the need for new housing, especially affordable housing, versus concerns by some existing residents over increased traffic and density and demolishing existing affordable homes to make way for new higher end condos and so forth? Also, if you have any ideas for streamlining the process to make it easier to construct new housing, we'd love to hear about that too. It is Lauren's turn to go first.
I'm a second generation La Mesa homeowner, and I am a young person. I'm actually Gen Z. And I think that it's really important that we have folks who grew up in our communities making decisions to be able to expand our communities in the ways that it's needed. I was only able to buy a condo because I do not make enough money to buy a single family home, but now that I have equity in this condo, I will be able to do so in the future. And that's something that's really important to me. Homeownership is the number one path to generational wealth, and we all deserve that opportunity. So I really think it's important that we speed up this permitting process. It's kind of a disaster right now. I know Councilwoman Patricia Dillard and Councilwoman Laura Lothian have been working together trying to start to fix that. And I think that it's really important that we keep working on that. As someone who's worked in the bureaucracy, I know how to work with our city staff. I am not looking to be their boss. I'm looking to work with them to be able to streamline those permitting processes. We've got bills from the state that allow us to build in transit priority areas and allow there to be more streamlined processes. That way, I live on probably the densest street in La Mesa. It is all condos, about 2 to 3 stories high, and it's a beautiful area. I don't think everyone needs to live in condos. Absolutely not. We need to build more single family housing as well. But what I really want to prioritize is infill and mixed use housing. I love over by Collier Park. We've got Dark Horse Coffee Roasters on the bottom. We've got housing on the top. I want to see more of that. I want to see more of it near our parks. And I want to see it at Grossmont Center when we eventually redevelop.
Okay. Thank you, Lauren. Sean, let's hear from you on housing.
Housing is a unique situation because, like my platform is, collectively we have to do it. La Mesa's 9 square miles. I'm not going to pour a bunch of dumping apartments inside La Mesa when you have other cities. So my whole platform on that is collectively, based on the size of your cities, it goes that way, how many apartment buildings should be built. Instead of just dumping them in La Mesa, we need to look at Alpine, Encinitas, Chula Vista, and collectively come together and figure out where we can put these houses at. Affordable, I don't like that word, just reasonable. And once we get that situated and allocated, we put in certain things. So you need a parking garage. You can't park on public parking anymore. There's no more parking. Once we get the structure of the building and make sure that each unit designed where we have parking spaces per unit, so they have to supply that to build that.
Genevieve, let's hear from you on your thoughts on housing.
I'll tell you, as a family law attorney for 14 years, I have learned intimately about our family's struggle to be able to afford their housing. My clients on a daily basis, I'm addressing the fact that they have maybe they bring home $4,000 and $2,800 of it goes to a one bedroom home for a family of four. It's ridiculous. We need to do something about affordable housing and make sure that people can afford to rent and still have money to go out and invest in the community. I'm definitely committed to working with others to figure out how we can make sure people can afford that rent. I agree that we need diverse options. As a small family myself, with my husband and our two kids and my mom, we can't afford to upgrade because now upgrading to even a three-bedroom, two-bath house is $950,000. For a family that's dealing with utilities, groceries, all of the other needs, they can't afford it. We need to start working with developers and coming up with options, mixed public-private approaches so that we can help people afford starter homes and afford to upgrade. I like the idea of mixed use. I agree. Grossmont Shopping Center, if they're going to change it up, I'm all for mixed use. One of my good friends who is way more knowledgeable than I am brought up the idea of even adding a section of Grossmont Center that is a little hotel so that the city can make more money off of that, as well as affordable housing on top of retail. It could be a really fantastic thing, especially for families who have members in the hospital at Sharp. So I think there's a lot out there, but we definitely have to start addressing it in a meaningful manner.
Thank you, Genevieve. Christine, we'll let you wrap up the question on housing.
The primary driver of housing costs is delay. With my Cantera project, it was a 7-year delay. Mm-hmm. Now, imagine the carrying costs on that. And imagine who they're going to get passed on to. Cantera is detached housing. Genevieve, if you are more than welcome to move up to that, $730,000 for three bedroom, two bath. You can do it. The problem, again, is delay. I am in favor of mixed use, but I'm also in favor of preserving single family neighborhoods. You don't get to build three stories in a place that's always been single family. I am completely opposed to that. I agree with Lauren, you have to have something that someone can buy to move up. It's the only way to have people go from renting to homeownership. So I believe that we do need multifamily housing, but we have to be very careful where we put it. The key thing, if you look at Coronado, La Jolla, where my daughter went to school, Santa Barbara, is design guidelines. Right now, our city basically has design guidelines that are have a window and you'll be okay. So what do we want to see in La Mesa? Do we want each quadrant of La Mesa, where Lauren lives, where Genevieve lives, where Sean lives, where I live, is slightly unique? Why don't we, as growth comes, as state laws mandate that we grow, why don't we have some design guidelines out there? We have a design review board with no guidelines. And I think one of the biggest things that we can do to have housing and affordable housing fit within our community is to have some good design guidelines.
Okay, thank you so much. Do you believe that La Mesa should restore remote public comments, which the council banned a few months ago after they received a barrage of anti-Semitic comments that disrupted a single meeting? Sean's?
I think it should be restored. I mean, there's pros and cons to it. I think the reason why we restored, because I guess they were from afar or distance making comments. I did read about it. Well, it was kind of like disturbing at the time. But I'm 50-50. I mean, I could ban it or can reinstate it.
Okay. Genevieve, how about you?
I'm for restoring it as an attorney who practices remotely and also loves the way that the courts have adapted it so that we can all appear remotely and save our clients' funds. I think that there's a huge benefit to it. We need diverse opinions. We also need to allow for people who cannot make the meetings to be there. And if they want to offer comments, we should allow them to. Now, that said, there obviously have to be guidelines, and we can make those guidelines available for people to review online through our city website. And there are ways to mute people. There are ways to shut them down after 2 minutes. Hate speech is not allowed. I think that we need to bring it back, because without everybody's input from our community, and I think that Sean made a good point, you know, that people were concerned about people from outside our community. We need all viewpoints, but there's no reason to exclude people.
Christine, what are your thoughts?
I think that public comment should be allowed via Zoom. We now do our entire forum right now via Zoom. I don't have a problem with it. What I do have a problem with is the entire city council listening to basically hate speech, anti-Semitic and racist hate speech, and not doing a darn thing about it. You say, oh, it's public comment, I can't respond to it. You know what? That's just not right. You can get off the dais, and I did when I was a councilwoman, and I address the public. And my biggest problem was their lack of reaction to people saying terrible, hateful, sickening things. Oh, we're going to cut off public comment via Zoom. No, that's not good enough for me. So yes, I would restore public comment via Zoom. And every person on the council, whether it's me, whether it's Sean, whether it's Lauren, whether it's Genevieve, if that ever happens again, get off the dais. Go to public comment and denounce it.
Lauren, you can wrap up the question on restoring public comments for us.
I 100% support restoring public comment. I actually went to the subsequent council meeting and spoke in opposition, asking them to bring it back, but also acknowledging and calling out the hate speech. Again, we all know hate speech is protected by the First Amendment, and it is really critical that we maintain folks' First Amendment rights. That being said, there are times when things are so inappropriate and so out of line that they do need to be addressed. I agree. There are rules that we have to follow on that dais. There are expectations, Robert's Rules of Order and the Brown Act and those types of things. That being said, there are creative ways like getting off the dais and going public comment and addressing that, because the anti-Semitic vile hatred that was spewed that night was wildly inappropriate and disgusting. I do think it needs to be restored because people have kids at home or aging parents or pets. A lot of folks have abnormal working hours. Not everyone works 9 to 5. So I think it's an equity issue. It needs to be restored. But just like the County Board of Supervisors does, if it's off topic, they need to be shut down immediately and it needs to be addressed. That's a big priority of mine to bring it back.
The next question, let's take 2 minutes on this one. Homelessness. I would like to hear from each of you on what more you think the city should do to address the homelessness problems, and also your opinion about how well current efforts are working, such as the home program. Genevieve, you're first on this one.
So I'd like to first start with saying that the home program is fantastic. I think they've been doing a fantastic job, and everyone involved has really been invested. And I think it absolutely needs to be supported so that it can continue its work. We need to address homelessness in a humane way. And I say that because as a parent, one of the things that happened with having my kids is my perspective shifted. And you never know when your kid is the one on the street and needs help. And what we don't want to do is just send them miles away. We need to find and identify a location so that we can create a center for them and a center so that we can house them first, so that it's safety for them and it's safety for everyone involved. And then once we get them housed, we can actually start offering wraparound services, creating rehabilitation services, and making sure they have the kind of help and support they need. Anyone can be homeless. You never know what life event takes you there. And to approach it in a way that is not kind, it's not something that's going to be sustainable. As I've been canvassing, people have all been on board with making sure we treat the unhoused housed with love. And I really think that we are a city that could open its hearts to making sure that we could become a model of how to take care of our unhoused and ensure that they have the services that they require.
Thank you very much. Christine.
I think the home program has done an excellent job. But when we say homelessness, we are addressing multiple issues. My own half-sister was homeless. She was homeless for a long time. She did not want help. We are addressing drug addiction. We are addressing mental illness. We are addressing people who have lost their homes because they can't afford it anymore. It's not something that one thing can cure. It's a multifaceted program. I think that banning outdoor camping like the city of San Diego did would be a good thing in public places. You have to have a carrot and a stick. The carrot is our home program. It's fabulous with a tremendous success rate. The stick is you need to go into it. There was a homeless woman who was killed in La Mesa camping outside. What if she said, and our liaison on the police oversight board, who is a homeless advocate, says there's some people who just won't go. So it's a very, very complex and difficult problem, and it's not an easy one to solve. It's not just a roof over their head. If someone won't go into that area, what do you do about it? If they're offered a roof, a bed, an apartment, what do you do about it? I agree with Genevieve that you must treat people humanely. And right now, I feel like we treat dogs and cats better. If a stray dog and cat is picked up on the street, they're treated with more compassion than homeless people are. And the reason is we have control over the dog and cat. It's such a hard problem. And I don't think that La Mesa can fix it. I think the state needs to fix it, but I agree that it has to be a compassionate and balanced approach.
Okay. Thank you, Christine. Lauren, let's hear from you about the homelessness crisis.
So this is something that, like Christine, is very close to my heart. I have a close family member who has been homeless for more than my entire life. And it's something that is really close to my heart because these are people, and a lot of these folks, not all of them, are people with really serious mental illness, really serious addiction problems. And then there are some folks who just live paycheck to paycheck and lost their job or had a medical emergency. Christine and Genevieve are absolutely correct. It's a whole mix of people. I am really in support of CareCourt, which is a state initiative, community assistance and recovery and empowerment. I worked for the mayor of San Diego when he was supportive of CareCourt, and that was coming forward. And I think that it's kind of a no-brainer. It is involuntary mental health treatment for folks that need it. And it's a lot of folks on our streets that have family members who would be able to help them with this, get them into that treatment, because a lot of folks don't want to go. They're offered, and they don't. That being said, I do not support a homelessness encampment ban, at least not in totality. Maybe we could discuss about just distances from schools and whatnot. But I think because we do not have a real homeless shelter out here, and we certainly don't have one that has wraparound services, I just don't think it's right to ban it because we don't have another option. And I think sending folks to jail and putting something on their record is not what we need to be doing. We do need to focus on getting people mental health treatment. We need to focus on getting people into homes. I'm on the Community Police Oversight Board, and I know Matthew Smiley, who has been the main point of contact on the home program. We need to keep funding it. We need to expand it as soon as possible. And we need to work together with, especially with our East County cities. The city of Lemon Grove has already volunteered to put a shelter there with wraparound services. Let's work with them and let's make that happen because that needs to be a top priority.
Okay. And Sean, what are your thoughts about addressing the homelessness problem?
First off, I'm from North Carolina originally. I actually moved to California in 2001. So I'm not used to seeing a lot of homeless, like maybe two of my entire adulthood lived in North Carolina. So it's still like a shock to me, but I think some people are kind of like desensitized to it. Nobody should call the sidewalk their home in La Mesa. That is just insane. A few things that I came up with that I've thought of. Number one, offer them a shelter in jail. We shelter and we feed criminals, but we do nothing for the homeless. So we actually give more to criminals than the people who can't really afford to, you know, have a home. So offer a 60-day period in jail with no criminal record, just this is where you're going to stay for the next 60 days. Obviously, it's somewhat controversial, but I think since we house and feed criminals, we should kind of do the similar same thing for the homeless. Encampments, I think just enforcing the rules that we already have on the books, you know, mental illness and drug addiction is, I think, 80% of the homeless. Once we can address, you know, the mental illness and the drug addiction, and if they don't want to get off the streets, that's when we enforce the laws that we already have on the books as far as trespassing. That I've had business owners tell me that they're thinking about moving their business, selling and moving out of the Mesa because of the homeless. And some people feel that, okay, since this area kind of looks less like it's like taken care of, we should encamp there. So if the Mesa kept up its maintenance as far as removing the grass, cutting, make sure all the freeways, there's no bushes around where you can build an encampment, the homeless wouldn't see that a fit place to live. Getting everybody on the same page as far as homelessness with all the counties, because we can't just solve it here in La Mesa. It has to be collectively done with all the cities in San Diego County.
Thank you, Sean. It's been 4 years since La Mesa had racial justice protests and a devastating riot. Has enough been done since then to restore trust in policing and also to keep our streets safe? Lauren, I'll let you take this first.
Thank you. That was horribly devastating to our city. I remember waking up at like 6 a.m. to the news, and it was just devastating and shocking. Like I said, I'm on the Community Police Oversight Board. Contrary to popular belief, it was actually not formed because of the riots. It was formed because a grand jury made that recommendation to the city of La Mesa because we had some racial justice and other policing issues in the city. But we are making some really great strides with the Oversight Board, with the complaint form that we've just updated. We do a lot of work on that board. It's really cool. We're making progress. I don't think we can say that we've done enough, but our police officers are doing absolutely everything in their power to be out in the community, to be at high schools, to be at our events. And Chief Ray Sweeney is just absolutely incredible. He's doing a really great job. So I think we have to keep working on this, but I know our police officers and our city council and the people of La Mesa all want to see that relationship improve and continue to do so.
Sean, what are your thoughts on this important issue?
I think it's important that the police maintain that community dialogue with the community and making sure that they're just doing the exact same thing that they're doing. I remember watching that big march on the 8th and over the guy who was in the Rosemont trolley station. Yeah,
it was the altercation with the officer and the African
American. Yeah, the apartment housing over there. So I just think since the cops are doing such a great job, just keep striving. I mean, every police force isn't perfect. Nobody's perfect. It's just that we got to supply our cops with the know-how to deal with the public and know how to de-escalate certain issues and situations that may come about. But as far as I'm concerned, I love the Mesa Police Department. I've been with them for many, many years. I remember one day I was parked outside of my house and a cop pulled behind me and he turned on his light. And I was like, what's going on? He gets out and he's like, let me see your driver's license and registration. I was like, for what? He's like, we got a call of a suspicious car in the neighborhood. And I was like, well, I live right here. So I showed him my driver's license. They had the exact same address as the house I was sitting in. He was caught off guard when I showed him a picture of me and Walt Vasquez out to dinner. And I was like, if you need to know who I am, you can ask your boss. And I showed him my phone that we was out to dinner. He's like, oh.
Former police chief.
Yeah. So issues like that shouldn't happen. And we just have to let the police know that, you know, you don't approach someone like that unless you have a probable cause. But as far as the police, they've been doing a great job. I've talked to a few of them. They're much diverse than what it was back in the day.
Thank you very much, Sean. Genevieve, can you address the issues of policing and public safety?
Yeah, I remember the riot. That night, I was with my daughter in her room, and she was very scared. And my son was with, and we heard the helicopters above. It was really a scary time. But there were several positive things that came out of that. Awareness for how we needed to improve and address social and racial justice issues. The other positive thing was the next day, I was out there with many people from La Mesa, painting over the graffiti, helping each other, hugging each other. It was a pretty meaningful time. I was proud to be in La Mesa at that time and the next day, not that night, because we really all clung together. I think Chief Sweeney has done a fantastic job of addressing what they need to do. I went on a ride along last month, and Officer Gutierrez had only been doing it for a year, and her kindness and her skill, I was just very impressed with her. The police oversight board and all of the efforts that the police department are making, they're working.
Christine, give us your thoughts on the policing and public safety issues.
I think the police department, as Lauren mentioned, has made great strides in community outreach. I am impressed by what they are doing. As far as the night of the riots, I was at Maxwell's House of Books watching the Randall Lamb building burn down and someone swinging a baseball bat at my head.
Ooh.
So I think that as much as the police have done to really do outreach and prevent that from happening, where I feel like they haven't done as much as they probably could is reassuring the business owners, homeowners, especially the business community, that that will never happen again. I don't want anyone ever, ever, as a business owner or a nearby homeowner, to go through that again. And the police have done a fabulous job, as Lauren pointed out, to build better community relations. And I support them 110%. But that sort of thing should never happen again.
Thank you, Christine. What ideas do you have for revitalizing some of the older areas of La Mesa that don't always get enough attention, as well as enhancing La Mesa's downtown village, including any new businesses that you might hope to help attract to the city? Go ahead, Christine.
The downtown village is a symbolic heart of La Mesa, and I think we need to protect it. Mm-hmm. And we need to make sure the uses that are there are in conformance with what's there now. As far as the rest of La Mesa, it should not be treated as separate. We need to continue, and I think, Lauren, I'm also endorsed by the San Diego Chamber of Commerce East, recognizes the need for investment. One of the key things we can do is not decide what kind of businesses that we want in La Mesa, but make things easier for businesses to start. If you're a small business, you shouldn't be waiting 6 months, a year, 2 years to get your permits. There are lots of entrepreneurs and lots of people who want to have businesses in La Mesa, whether it's a nail salon, a restaurant, a real estate office, it really doesn't matter. The key is making our city business friendly. Just make it easier for these businesses to come into La Mesa. And I think you will get a lot more businesses in La Mesa.
Thank you, Christine. Lauren, your thoughts on revitalizing La Mesa and bringing new businesses in?
Yeah, as Christine mentioned, I'm also endorsed by the East County Chamber of Commerce, and I work for the San Diego Regional Chamber of Commerce. I'm the daughter of small business owners, and I really think that it should be easy to start a business in La Mesa, and cheap and timely, and it's not. I also really firmly believe that our businesses and our entrepreneurs should not be bankrupted by unfunded government mandates. That is something that we're seeing at a lot of different levels in the state and even in our cities. I want to prioritize just enhancing the local economy and supporting small and diverse businesses. Some of our most diverse businesses in the region are right here in La Mesa. We have a spice shop. We just had a Mexican cositas shop, like a party shop. We've got dance studios, nail salons, florists. We need to do that by streamlining the business regulations, cutting bureaucratic red tape, which I know how to do because I've worked in the bureaucracy, and also collaborate with workforce organizations in our schools and our unions to make sure that we have a skilled and trained workforce so that we can continue to thrive.
Very good. Thank you, Lauren. And Sean, let's hear from you about your ideas for revitalization and bringing new businesses to town.
I can only assume that I'm the only candidate that ran down every street in La Mesa, which I've trained for five half marathons. So I use La Mesa as my training ground. So I've actually ran past everybody's house here. I've seen a lot. The permitting, I think, the reason why they're kind of like not efficient is because they outsource it. I think it needs to be an in-house deal when it comes to permitting and getting permits to build. I think we need to make it easier for people to build a granny flag on the back of their homes. make it relatively for a friend or a family member to rent. So that will kind of increase the housing, the affordable housing. But businesses are huge. They should not wait 9 months to get a permit. I actually had a problem with the permit. I was doing there was some construction getting on my house. That puts everybody in an awkward situation, especially when you're paying a contractor who can't move. You're paying him to do something, and he has his equipment there, and his equipment is being rented, so it just sits there. Yeah. Insourcing the permitting, stop outsourcing it, and making permits to build 20 flags much easier and more efficient.
Okay. And Genevieve?
This is probably one of my favorite questions, Miriam. I think you know why, because I have my secret goal of getting a Korean barbecue in the village. I do not know why we don't have a Korean barbecue.
That's delicious.
And I'm putting that out there in the universe because we need one. I don't want to drive to Convoy for it anymore. And I don't think we should have to. We're a diverse community. That, you know, I will say, I love the direction our village is going in. Places like Popolo, City Tacos, Public Square, Sheldon's. I just love them. Floral Craft. I love our village. I think that our La Mesa Village Association is doing a good job. Shout out to our Oktoberfest. It's happening this weekend. Why don't we have a German restaurant? La Mesa is a fantastic city. There's a reason why we felt good about staying for 15 years here. This is a place where we could really grow and our families can grow and we need our businesses too. That said, I agree with Christine. I think that we need to make it easier for permitting. We need to make it more business friendly. I am a pro business candidate. I had my own business up until actually this year because my 90-year-old mom who lives with us had some health problems. And so I know what it's like to run a business in La Mesa. So I actually loved it. I thought that everybody was very encouraging, but we need more restaurants. We need retail shops. I'd like more like a, you know, North Park, South Park feel. I think that we're primed for it. And I think that it's time for our village to start renewing itself to fit the community that now lives and thrives in our city.
January, we saw some of the worst storms and floodings across San Diego and East County in decades. And with climate change, we're seeing more severe storms really all over the place. Just look at the hurricane, you know, hitting the southeast coast right now. Has La Mesa done enough to address its infrastructure, especially storm drains, to protect La Mesans against future flooding and other impacts of climate change?
Yeah, I think La Mesa is with the hills and the valley that I have. I don't think it has too much problems with, you know, drastic rain. I mean, there has been times where I've seen trash cans float down Cinnabar, but that was like extreme. I really think La Mesa is pretty well off when it comes to drain. There's no drainage problem where we have stagnated water a long period of time. But I think La Mesa infrastructure can handle not a major flood, but I mean the current natural devastating weather that we're seeing. There are certain people who live in houses. I can tell you the streets, like I said, I ran down them all and I've seen some unique stuff. And I've seen driveways that go almost 30 degrees and then there's a garage. And I'm like, oh yeah, they're definitely gonna get flooded. But other than the overall city, I think it's done a pretty good job as far as draining when we have those storms.
Genevieve, let's hear from you about storm drains and other infrastructure.
I know that La Mesa has done a good job of infrastructure improvements. We've been trying to keep up and I think they're pretty effective. I think that though it is an aging city and so we need to keep up and we also need to make sure that we have our infrastructure improvements are green with an eye toward climate action, you know, like our climate action plan. And we need to make sure that we are providing the same kind of community outreach so that people can get involved and have the kind of information available to them that will help them help themselves. Because when things happen, they need to be able to, you know, address it by either sandbagging or making sure that the drains are clear. That said, you know, emergency response plans are very important. And as far as I know, La Mesa's done a good job of that as well. Last night, I learned about CERT, and our CERT program is fantastic. They have a lot of volunteers who are helping with flooding so that, God forbid, if something ever happened, as it's happening in South Carolina, we would be prepared. But I think that continuing the infrastructure direction is important and to make sure that we're addressing the problems as they come and trying to get in front of it so that we're not reactionary.
Thank you very much, Genevieve. Christine, your thoughts on infrastructure?
I used to always say when I was first elected to the council back in 2012, sewers are not sexy, and they aren't. And there's something no one thinks about. You don't think about storm drains. You don't think about runoff until it happens. You absolutely must maintain that system. One of the businesses I own is a business called Quarry Self Storage. It's right next to the Spring Valley Swap Meet. You want to know what happens when you have torrential rains and people don't keep the waterways clean? Ask me. I got a call and my facility was underwater. It's not in a floodplain. It's nowhere near a floodplain. And that taught me, I will give Akila Weber a ton of credit. She was out there with her people, but the county was ill-prepared for what happened. They did not, they kind of slowed down and cleared stuff. They told us, oh, you have 150 flooded storage units. You have to drive them with a truck over to the middle school. No, wrong answer. So as far as preparedness goes, we ran out of sandbags at the city of La Mesa. We need to be ready for that. We need to be ready for extreme heat. We need to be ready for extreme climate. The sewers and the storm drains are only part of it. But when it happens, how are you going to help the average person? And I would prefer that La Mesa be light years above the county of San Diego. Having suffered through it myself, if elected, I will make sure we have a plan that if people's homes are flooded, if people's businesses are flooded, we are ready to help them.
Thank you. Karen, go ahead.
So this is something that's obviously really, really serious. There actually were flooded buildings in the city of La Mesa, and my condo building is right next to a building that was completely and totally flooded and decimated, and it displaced over 30 families. I'm going to be really frank here. The city council did not acknowledge that. And I think that is harmful and hurtful because those were families that were living here and that were contributing to the city of La Mesa. We need to apparently really get up to date on mandatory inspections. That building should never have flooded. We need to promote permeable surfaces on our streets and our roads. And of course, keep our storm drains clear, which we have been doing in the city of La Mesa, unlike almost anywhere else. We need to acknowledge the realities that it is happening here and that it did. And those folks never should have been displaced, and they should have been helped by the city.
Thank you very much, Lauren. Who are your most important endorsements? And also, please disclose any potential conflicts of interest that might require you to recuse from votes. Genevieve, it's your turn to go first.
My most important endorsements are my kids and my husband. I am proud to be endorsed by our La Mesa Heartland Fire and Rescue. I'm endorsed by our police, by our mayor and La Mesa City Council members, Patricia Dillard, Jack Hsu, and Colin Parent. I'm also endorsed by the San Diego Democratic Party, by the San Diego Labor Council. One of our supervisors, Monica Montgomery Stepp, one of my favorite people in the world. I went to law school with her. So everyone's endorsements really mean a lot to me. Any conflicts of interest, not really, because we're not in San Diego, so San Diego Unified School District won't be an issue. And I'm hoping that no one has any family law issues. So I don't think that'll be an issue.
Have council members beating each other up.
Correct.
Okay. Christine, your endorsements and any conflicts?
You know what? My favorite endorsement is someone who I never thought I'd get along with, who I fought with like cats and dogs when I was on the council, and who I think knows the most about La Mesa than all of us, and who I have the utmost respect for, and that's our former mayor, Art Madrid. After we were both out of office, we started to come together through a group of concerned citizens that wanted to stop billboards from being erected here, and we started talking, and we thought, why were we arguing? Was it partisan? Was it our political parties? And so that's my favorite endorsement. I can't think of anyone with more institutional knowledge about La Mesa, anyone who thinks clearer about La Mesa, anyone who has that much experience in Art Madrid. As far as conflicts, obviously I have a conflict regarding anything that's near the Cantera project. And when the Cantera project came before the city council way back when to get the final map, I stepped out. People have asked me if my significant other's bookstore would be a conflict. I love the guy, but I don't have any financial gain from that.
Okay, very good. Lauren, the endorsements you're most proud of and anything that might make you recuse off of a vote?
Yeah, so I'll start with potential recusals. Obviously, I do own a condo and I'm in an HOA, so anything right around here. But also working for the San Diego Regional Chamber of Commerce, I am a paid lobbyist. I have not lobbied on any issues directly in La Mesa in terms of like real legit paid lobbying. But anything that I did, if that were to come up in the future, I would absolutely recuse myself from those votes. It would not be appropriate for me to work on. I work on a lot of energy projects throughout the county. Again, haven't worked on any of them here in the city of La Mesa. But if it did come up, it's absolutely something that I would recuse myself from, even though, you know, they're not personally paying me, they are paying my employer. So I would be very transparent. All of my lobbying activity is transparent. My most proud endorsements, La Mesa Firefighters, Local 4759, our La Mesa Police Officers Association. I'm extremely proud to have that endorsement. The East County Chamber of Commerce and the San Diego and Imperial County's Labor Council. I am the only candidate that was endorsed by both the Labor Council, made up of a bunch of labor unions, and the East County Chamber of Commerce. I think you can be pro-business and pro-union. Also, Congresswoman Sarah Jacobs, Senator Tony Atkins, County Supervisor Monica Montgomery Stepp, Mayor Arapastathis, and three of the four La Mesa Council members.
Very good. Sean, let's hear from you about any endorsements that you'd like to tell us about and any conflicts that might mean you would need to recuse from voting.
No conflict of interest. Probably one of my most unique endorsements that I really cherish is Patrick Hayes. He's an attorney at law at Alpine. And he's a former FBI agent. And we've sat in my office and talked probably about three or four times a week. I would probably consider him one of my very cherished endorsements.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm going to ask each of you to provide a brief closing statement. If you want, you can tell us where voters can find more information on your candidacy. And if there's any issue I didn't ask you about or any burning desire you have for something you want to get done for La Mesa that wasn't in the questions, then here's your chance to let people know. Christine, we'll let you go first on the closing statements.
First of all, I want to thank you, Miriam, for hosting this forum. I know there have been other like Facebook or podcasts where not all the candidates were invited. I feel like we have an extremely strong group here. We don't have hyper partisans here. I love Sean. I love his honesty. I love the fact that he's not afraid to say, I don't know. I think all politicians, anyone holding elected office should do that. I love Genevieve and Lauren for their experience and their dedication to the city. And I hope I am elected and whoever I serve with, I will be your friend. If you want me to be a mentor, I'll be a mentor. And I will be proud to serve with any of you because you are all great and you're wanting to do this for our city is just fabulous. Again, this is the best candidate group that I've ever been with in all the times I ran at, well, twice that I ran for city council, as far as good-hearted, honest, wonderful people. And I thank you for having this forum, and I wish everyone the best of luck.
Thank you, Christine. Lauren, your turn to give us your closing thoughts.
Thank you again to Miriam and East County Magazine for hosting. And thank you again to Genevieve, Christine, and Sean for throwing your hat into the ring and running and for their passion and care for La Mesa and for participating tonight. I agree with what Christine said. I think it's really important that all of the candidates are invited to engage in forums, whether it's a formal forum on Zoom or by the media or anything else. I think it's important that everyone hears from all of us and it shouldn't take money or personal relationships to do that. I am really proud of the race that I've been running. For folks who might not know, I've been running for over 500 days when Colin Parent decided to jump into the assembly race after Dr. Akilah Weber decided to run for Senate. A week later, I jumped into the city council race. I'm really proud of the work that I've done for the past year and a half. And I'm doing this because I want to give back to the city that raised me. My parents lived the American dream and I got to be that second generation of the American dream. And I want everyone to be able to do that. I shouldn't be an anomaly that I was able to stay here and buy a home here. Everyone should be able to do that. I also do just want to give a quick shout out. We've never elected an LGBTQ council member ever in East County. I don't think that's a reason to vote for me, but I think that is a really cool opportunity that we have in the city of La Mesa. And I hope to be the first. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much, Lauren. And Sean, let's hear your closing comments.
No, I started this race with a pamphlet in my car and been running since June or July. That's when I did all the paperwork. Being a trainer, it allows me to honestly have some tough conversations with people. We've had the same leadership since 1981 in La Mesa. That's when Art Madrid joined the city council. Jimmy Carter was president. So between Art Madrid and Marco Rathapathis, the connection to Jimmy Carter is just mind-boggling to me. So I think I bring a different take, a different breed to the city council, and that's one reason I decided to run. I know La Mesa has some dysfunction that I need to find out. I want her to be my new client, and I'm going to train her, I'm going to work her, I'm going to prowl, and we're going to get things in shape, and we're going to do all we possibly can to make La Mesa a better place to live. And I'm not the type of person to just talk. I'm a doer. So when I say I'm going to do something, it's engraved in stone. I would do it no matter what. If I say I'm going to have a picnic and it's rain, I'm going to find outside where it's not raining to have a picnic. I have a passion to always execute goals. And my goal is to become city council of La Mesa and then make a change where people are giving me high fives in the grocery aisle. That's what my passion is about. I train multiple people in La Mesa. I just want to make a huge difference in the lives of the people that are trained in La Mesa. And obviously, the people here, I will be your city council too. But if you're mine, I will work with you no matter what. And hopefully we can come together. Obviously, two of us will be working together. And I will work with any three of these women here that are just, to me, are amazing.
Okay. Thank you so much, Sean. And Genevieve, we will let you have the final word with your closing comments.
Thank you, Miriam, and thank you for hosting this forum, East County Magazine. Thank you to my fellow candidates, Christine, Lauren, Sean. I have appreciated this forum, just like I appreciate canvassing around La Mesa. I've loved knocking on every door I've knocked on, pretty much, even the ones where it's been a little harder, because I'm learning more and I'm making more friends. And I think that's very important. I agree with Sean. It feels good to high-five people in the grocery store. But as we wrap up, I'd like to share a personal note. Like many people watching and people in La Mesa, I'm a member of the sandwich generation. I care for my family, my young family, while supporting my 90-year-old mom who also lives with us. And one of the things that makes La Mesa great are our people. And, you know, whether it's our firefighters who and our EMTs who came to her aid, or the nurses who were there at Sharp, everyone, it's just been an amazing experience. And it's deepened my understanding of the challenges many of us face. As a member of the AAPI community, I'm also committed to bringing diverse perspectives to the table. If you'd like to learn more about me, please visit my website at suzukiforlamesa.com. I look forward to meeting everyone. I'm going to keep staying out, walking precincts, knocking on doors. And if you see me, please stop me. I'm wearing my big hat. I'm from Hawaii originally, y'all. I am very much about the aloha. And I think that our city has the same kind of love that I grew up with in Honolulu. And living here for 15 years as a homeowner, as a parent, as an attorney, I've just found it to be the best place. And we really are a jewel of the hills. So thank you.
Well, I want to thank all of our wonderful candidates for taking the time tonight to join us and share your views. I think we have a very impressive, strong, diverse array of candidates. I'm born and raised in La Mesa. I love La Mesa, and I can tell that all of you have a passion for La Mesa and for really wanting to help people, which is really the right reason to go into politics.
Thank you, Miriam.
Thank you.